love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, come on. Let's give Jesus a bigger hand. We love you, Lord. It's for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. Go ahead. It's a joy to be here. And I just want to say, Wave Church, you've been taking care of me. I feel right at home. Feels like I'm at my church. And it is a joy to be here. Pastor Steve, he said that we've sent these missionaries out. Our church is consumed with letting the world know about Jesus Christ. And our goal is to send 500 missionaries from our congregation. And we just sent our 293rd person. And we're saying, let's go into all the world and preach the message. So we're just consumed with that. And then we have a spirit of generosity that got on our church. And I got to say, it's a supernatural thing. It's a supernatural thing. The very first offering was $300. We gave it all away. And my wife's like, what's the plan after that? I'm like, I don't know. I got to figure it out. I started the church on credit cards, 5 Visa Gold credit cards at 21% interest. That's how I started the church. Nobody would give us a loan. I mean, I carried that credit card debt for 5 years. And I'm thinking, why would God pick me to talk about generosity? And he's like, because I picked you because you don't know what you're doing, you know? Like, and he gets all the glory then, you know? I mean, when we had Dave Ramsey, if you know Dave Ramsey, we had Dave Ramsey come and speak for the church. And I met him the first time, you know, I said to him, forgive me, Dave, for I have sinned. I mean, that's what I just, you know, I started on credit cards, you know? So anyways, he wrote an endorsement in my book, which is kind of cool that he did that. And so we'll talk about the generous life in just a minute. I can get there because I love helping churches increase their legacy offering and giving you a new trajectory and sharing what God has done in our church. And so before I get into that, I just want to show real quick a family picture and then a really recent one here. But go ahead, show my family picture. Yeah, you see my family. There's my mom, Isabel. She just celebrated her 1,000th month on earth. I didn't know that was a thing, but when you're 83, you know, she's like, I just lived 1,000 months, so we threw her a party, you know, so, okay. Our youngest son, Logan, and his wife, Mac, and then you see me holding Beckham, my wife, Becca, there, and then our oldest son, Connor, his wife, Alexia, and then Anastasia, and this is kind of fun. On my way to Wave Church, I met my third grandchild. Go ahead, put the picture up there. Like, Logan and Mac adopted from Utah, and underneath that blanket is little Enzo. That's what his name, Vincenzo, so he's going to go by Enzo. They adopted him in Utah. They landed. I gave him flowers, a hug. I laid hands on Enzo in baggage claim, prayed over my grandson, gave him the balloons, and then I flew to Wave Church. So I've seen you more than I've seen my grandson. You know, like. So that's why my wife is not here. But can I go back to the first picture with my family? Whenever I preach somewhere and I've never preached before, I have to do this, all right? So I have to give God the glory for miraculous healing. You'll see my son Connor in the mustard-colored sweatshirt there. Okay, I'm going to share a story here. Connor was healed of autism, miraculously healed of autism. And I'm going to walk you through this. He was born with autism. We didn't know it. And he would only sleep in a car seat. Like, if he was buckled in, he would sleep. But if we laid him in the crib, he'd cry all night. And, you know, sleep deprivation, you're like, just put the car seat in the crib, keep them buckled in, you know. But we didn't realize that's a sign of autism. They love to be held tight. That's very reassuring to them. And then we noticed that he didn't ever make eye contact with us. And we thought, well, he's very shy. His dad's outgoing, but he's very shy. Then we noticed that everything was a train. He'd line things up in his, anything that he had was all, so we thought, we'll buy him Thomas the Tank Engine trains. And we're kind of like, okay. And then we noticed when he would speak, he'd only repeat back to us and parrot what we said. Where are we going? Where are we going? Going to the mall, going to the mall. And we just thought, oh, okay, you know, this is just what it is. And we brought him to his doctor's appointment. They said, we think your son has autism. We want to test him. And so they test him. He's 2 years old. And they said, yep, your son has autism. And so we're like, we didn't know that. We're just trying to figure this out. And so we said, well, Lord, if you could heal autism, that'd be amazing. And so we started praying. Now, I want to say this right now. We loved our son. We love our son. And we were like, we love you. But we know that healing is possible. So it's possible to love someone and still want a healing for them. Okay? So we loved him, didn't reject him, loved him. But we thought, we're going to pray for this healing. And so we're praying for, matter of fact, we saw this poem, and if you've never seen it, it's called Welcome to Holland. And it's talking about all your friends are going to Italy, but you go to Holland, and you have a child that has special needs. You need to love that child and not be sad you didn't go. So we're like, okay, we love them, but we're praying for a miracle. 2 years, we're praying. I bought every anointing oil, handkerchief. You know, I was like, if it was on the TV, I was like, I'll buy that too. I mean, I went to every healing crusade. I was like, pray for Connor. Nothing happened. So after 2 years of praying, I gave up. And I was like, God, you're a loving God, a kind God, but I'm not seeing much power now. So I'm just going to give up. I just give up. Can I just tell you, that's a terrible way to live, okay? God's word is true regardless of what you're facing, okay? Somebody needed to hear that. But I just was like, okay, God, I'll preach you as a loving God, kind God. I don't know about power. I won't do much of that. And one day, this visiting pastor was there, and he said, hey, is there anything we can pray for you today? I'm visiting. And I was going to say, like, better, you know, Kingdom Builders legacy offering or something. And my wife goes, our son has autism, and we want to see him healed. And I was like, where'd that come from? Like, that was just random. Like, we kind of gave up. But I'm not getting in the way of mama bear. How many know what I'm talking about? He's gonna let her go. And he goes to lay hands on Connor, and then he stops. He has a word of knowledge. And a word of knowledge is a gift of the Spirit. And he said, the Lord has heard that you've said he's a good God and a kind God. And now to show you that he's a powerful God, he's gonna heal your son for his glory. Got my attention now, you know. I'm listening. And he lays hands, prays for Connor. And our son that cannot look us in the eye, has been in special ed for 2.5 years, looks up and goes, hey, Dad, where are we going today? What do you want for lunch? Totally miraculously healed. Yeah, I give God glory for that. Yeah, we bring him in. We bring him into special ed, and we show his teacher. She can't believe it. She's like, "This is a miracle." And then the boss comes in, and she goes, "This kid had autism, and he got healed." And she goes, "He didn't have autism." She goes, "You've been bringing a perfectly normal kid here for 2.5 years and stealing from the state of Minnesota." I said, yeah, it's every parent's dream to rip off special ed. You know, like, I said, no, God gets the glory. He healed my son, all right? So now I want to teach you something that God has downloaded to me about healing, all right? Go ahead, put the slide up on the screen. Here's what I want to show you. All right, put the slide up here. You're living in your now, but I want you to know, 1 Peter says, by his stripes you were healed. Your healing was already paid for. Already paid for. The Bible tells us in Revelation 21 that your healing is waiting for you in heaven. Now, in the past, it's paid for. In the future, it's waiting for you. But right now, you're living in your ailment, your sickness, something you never wanted to know the name of, okay? And so you're allowed now to do this. Put the next slide up. You're allowed to acknowledge where you live, ask for what's been paid for, and then appropriate. Appropriate means to make yours, all right? You're saying, you're agreeing with the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? So I'm saying I agree with heaven's reality. Now, I acknowledge where I am now, but I'm agreeing with heaven's reality, and I'm asking for it to be released into my now. That's called a miracle. We're allowed to do that. Now, we don't control the release date. Some of us have been taught, like, if you have enough faith, you can release it. Sometimes it was people's faith that Jesus healed them. Other times they had nothing to do with it. The Bible says, seeing their faith, when they broke the man through the ceiling, Jesus healed the man. The man at the pool of Bethesda, if you think you have to have faith, can I tell you? The man at the pool of Bethesda, when he gets healed, they go, who healed you? And he goes, I don't know. How much faith did he have in Jesus? He didn't even know. Did you think, like, after you get healed, you're saying, wait, before you go, what is your name? I mean, something like that? He didn't even know. So don't live in condemnation. Here's what we just got to realize. God's sovereign, but he's gracious. He's loving. He's powerful. And he early releases things into our life, and those are called miracles. And as his children, we are allowed to ask for that. Okay? We still love our children. We don't condemn ourselves for anything that we have. Wherever we're at, we acknowledge it, but we know that that's waiting for us. And we're wired this way. Christmas is coming, and I guarantee you, if you have kids, you know what? They're wired for early release, aren't they? Can I open one early? One. My mom and dad would always let us do it. It was always socks and underwear. I was like, oh, man. I wanted to open something better, you know? So we're going to pray in just a minute for anybody. Now, this is not the generosity message, but how many know if you have a healing like this, you have to give God the glory, okay? You have to do this, okay? So I just want to say this. When we go in prayer in just a minute, I want you to have a posture of your loving, gracious Heavenly Father, and wouldn't today be a great day for a miracle? I'll share this before I pray. My kids used to come to me and ask me for ice cream like this. They go, "Dad, you're probably not going to do it." I was like, "What am I not going to do?" And they're like, "Well, you're probably not going to do it." And I'm already offended. How many know I'm already offended? Like, you know? And they say, "You're probably not going to buy us ice cream." I was like, never ask that way ever again. When you ask in the future, just come up to me like this. "Hey, Dad, you're the best dad on planet Earth. I bet you want to buy us ice cream, don't you?" Right? That's how we should go to God in prayer. A lot of us go like, "You're probably not going to heal us today, but I'll pray again." No, God, wouldn't today be a great day for a miracle? Wouldn't today be a great, come on, seriously. Now, last thing, and then we'll pray, and then we're going to talk about generosity. But sometimes my kids would ask me at 4 o'clock, "Can we have ice cream?" But I knew dinner was at 5:30, and I'd make them wait. I'd say, no, not now. Okay, that's, God says, in heaven, "I got you. I know the time. If there's going to be an early release, trust me." And they had to trust me that Dad still loved them, even though I didn't meet their time frame. Okay? God still loves you, even though he may not meet your time frame. He promises you what you're believing for is going to be yours in heaven, but you get to pray for early release. Now, without asking you what it is that you're praying for, if anybody's been praying 1,000 prayers, 100 prayers, 10 years, 20 years, and you kind of feel like a stirring of faith even right now, and you'd love to pray another prayer, I'd love to come into agreement before we talk about generosity. Raise your hand if you say, "Pastor, include me in the prayer. I want to pray. Lord, I just pray right now." You see the hands going up. You are a loving God, a kind God, a powerful God, and so we ask for early release. And I pray that everyone here would draw faith and encouragement and comfort, realizing they can acknowledge where they live, but ask for what's in heaven. And may we appropriate and align with what heaven has for us into our now to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so, God, we ask for early release miracles, early release healings to come into our lives. Lord, I pray that they'd realize they are not crazy. They are not foolish. They are going to a loving Heavenly Father. And so we trust you with the release, but we will keep on asking every single day until we meet you face to face. Thank you for the miracles you've done, you will do, and are doing today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Come on, let's thank God for what he has done, what he will do, and what he has done. All right. Now, that wasn't the sermon. All right, so we're going to talk about generosity, and I'll end on time, but I want to talk to you about four things with generosity that have changed our church completely. We went from giving $895,000 in our legacy giving. That was our kingdom builders, but our year end, and last year was $12.3 million. You say, "Well, did the church explode in growth?" No, like, we're the same size as what we were before COVID, and our giving has almost doubled since then. Something supernaturally is happening in our church, okay? And we are living out 2 Corinthians 9, and I want you to understand this, Wave Church. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, "You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." When you are enriched, you're enriched so that you can be generous, and so people can, you saw the videos. You saw people saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you," and they're praising God because of your generosity, and it goes over and over and over again. And I love this, that you talked about tithing. You talked about that. We start with tithing in our church. We start there. We say tithing is where we start. We honor God. We start with that Old Testament principle. We see it was in the law, but it was before the law. Abraham tithed out of relationship. He said, "God, you are my God, and I give 10% to the priest Melchizedek." And then you see Jacob say, "God, if you get me out of this mess, you will truly be my God, and I will tithe." So we say, let's start there, but let's not end there. Let's go there, and we'll start there. And so I want to encourage you, if you've never done that, start there and say, "God, I want to honor you with this." We say this statement at our church, and I like it because it rhymes. We say, "The tithe keeps the church alive." That's what we say, you know, and it does. Everything you see is paid for with the tithe. Everything that we're doing as a community, like, that's where it starts, but we go over and above that, over and above. So the four things I want to teach about that over and above. The first one is your first gift is so important for your legacy giving. The first gift. See, the enemy will attack you with lies against generosity because generosity is so powerful. It's so powerful. And so the enemy will tell you, don't even give, your gift is too small, your gift won't matter. Because he knows the power of the first gift. If you've never given to Legacy, you even came today and you're like, oh, it's Legacy, I didn't even plan to give. No, I want to encourage you, the first gift makes a difference. It's incredibly important, and it doesn't matter the amount. See, the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. When you part with financial treasure and you give it to something, your heart goes there. And the enemy knows so much that if you give a first gift to Legacy, that your heart will follow after that. And you'll start saying, Pastor Steve, Pastor Josh, how are things going? Did we finish the project? Did we build that wing? Did we build that church? Did we help those kids? How many kids got fed this Christmas? How much did we do for Convoy of Hope? See, because your treasure went there. The Bible says your treasure goes there and your heart goes there. So the enemy says, don't do it. This is for rich people. This is not for you. Your gift is too small. And what's interesting, he says that to everybody. You could be thinking, I want to do this. I got $5. I'm going to do it. And the enemy goes, don't do it. $5 is too small. Just go to Starbucks. And you think, I got $50. And the enemy goes, don't do it. Go to lunch today. You wanted to go out to lunch. Don't go home. Go out to lunch. Okay. I'm going to give $500. The enemy goes, no. Buy the new driver you've always wanted. Do that instead. Oh, no. $5,000. And I had a guy come up to me. He goes, I was going to give $5,000. But he goes, like that would matter. I was like, no. That would matter. That's a lot of money. But the enemy says, spend the $5,000 on the boat. Don't. It's just too small. It won't even help. They're trying to raise millions. Same lie, different amounts. Same lie. Because the enemy knows that once you start walking and you start putting your resources into Legacy, into generous things for the kingdom of God, your heart starts following. He's like, stay walking selfish. Stay spending your money on yourself. Don't turn around. The first gift changes the direction of the way you're living. I had a bill collector in my church. He came up to me, he goes, that's true. I said, what's true? He said, that changed the direction of thinking. That's true. I said, what do you mean? He said, I call people all day long that owe money. And he said, if they owe me $10,000 or, you know, I'm trying to collect $10,000, I call them, I say, hey, could you just pay $10 towards your debt? And they think, $10? I owe you $10,000. They're walking this way. I owe you $10,000. And he said, just pay me $10. I can pay you $10. He said, here's what $10 does. It turns their direction. Now they're facing their debt. Before they were running away from it. Now 10 can turn into 100, turn into 1,000. It changes their direction. So the enemy, I've been praying with your pastors for hundreds of first-time people that would give. There's kids right now that are saying, will you buy me supplies? There's kids that want food, and they're wondering, Wave Church, will you do it? There's ministries that are wondering, will you do it? So I'm praying for let's change the direction. And it's not about the amount. It's about, because all of us have different amounts. All of us have different amounts. We all have different amounts that God's asked us to steward. So that's the first one. All right, so we just tell everybody, just start on the journey of generosity. Start small. And then go from there. All right, so how are you going to go from there? This is what we teach at our church, and I want to teach it to you. It's called Plan, Vision, Dream. Plan, Vision, Dream. All right? I'll tell you where I learned it, and then I'll give the scriptural support for it. I was in Kenya, and I was at an orphanage there in 2010, and I met Clive and Mary Beckingham. Go ahead and put them on the screen. Got a picture of them here. Yeah, here they are. They could be in your church, regular people. They were there teaching at the Bible College, and they heard about the orphan need in Kenya. And Mary said, Clive, we got to do something. And he said, well, let's just move out of the apartment. Let's buy a house. We can buy a house, a little rambler house. And they bought this little house. They just said, let's just work a plan. Like, God's give us enough to buy this. Let's work this plan. And I'm like, that's amazing. Your orphanage started in this little house. And I was just in Kenya like a couple weeks ago and saw the house again. Our church was able to give them $50,000 from our Legacy offering, and I personally wanted to deliver to those guys. It was a joy, yeah. So I said, so you started with a plan? He goes, yeah. And then one day we're doing an adoption ceremony, and this guy says, I love what you're doing with adoption. He goes, Clive, do you have a vision of what you want your orphanage to be? And he goes, I do. And he gets the blueprints out and he lays them on the table and he goes, I want the house to kind of hook here, and I want a lower level for babies and an upper level for toddlers, and I want to, on this acre and a half, I'd like to develop it right here. And the guy says, Clive, I'm going to build that for you for free. I'm going to build your vision for free. I love what you're doing for orphans. And you know what's crazy? He wasn't even a Christian. How many know God can have a person that's not even a Christian build your vision, right? That's what happened. So 2010, I'm there with Clive and Mary, and I said, wait. How did you go from that then to multi-site across Kenya? And they said, the same guy came back a couple years later and said, Clive, are you a dreamer? And he said, I am. He said, you know what I've been dreaming and praying about? I've been praying about these three cities in Kenya. I really believe God wants me to put an orphanage in each one of those cities, and I'm praying for God to open the door. The guy looks at Clive and goes, you're never going to believe this. He goes, I own three buildings in those exact cities, and my business is leaving Kenya. I'm just going to give them to you. And he gives them these three buildings. Matter of fact, can I tell you this? I was preaching this in Istanbul, Turkey, not that long ago, and this guy stands up in the service and interrupts me. Now, I don't recommend that, okay? But he says, Pastor, he goes, I was Clive's pastor. He goes, I was Clive's pastor in Kenya. And he goes, and I thought when he started with that little house, it was so stupid, it was so small, it wouldn't amount to anything. He said, he has the best buildings in Kenya. He goes, the story's even better than you're telling it. So, I mean, it's even better. God got this guy these amazing buildings. So as I'm leaving there, I'm like, that's so cool for Clive and Mary. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, that's how I want you to teach people to go on the journey of generosity. Start with a plan. Start with a plan. And most of you are already doing that. You're doing that. The Bible says in Psalms 20, verse 4, may he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. So if you're saying, God, I wanna do something for you. I wanna, over and above my tithe, I wanna do something, and I just have a plan. It's just what you've already put in my hands. With what you've already given me, could I do something with it for your kingdom and for your glory? How much should I give to legacy with what you've already given me? If God just keeps you alive, what could you do? That's where you start, and it's a beautiful place. And again, remember, that gift won't matter, or it's too small, or whatever. No. That's where we all start with what's in our hands. And we just start giving it. And for some, you just say, like, I could do 50 a month, I could do 100 a month, do 5,000. I don't know. Everybody has different amounts. Just start there. But don't stop. Then we go to the next one, vision. Write down, like, how much more do you think is in God's hands that if he put it in your hands, you would give it? You would literally live out the so that in 2 Corinthians. You would say, so that, and you do that. And so you just believe, God, there's more in your hands than there is in mine. Write it down and start praying over it. Okay? Habakkuk 2:2 says, and the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. There's something about writing a vision down. And I challenge our church to do this on Wave Church. From this day forward, you're doing the offering today, but as soon as the offering is over, start saying, God, what do you want me to do next year? Can I believe for more in your hands that you put into mine? And if you put it in there, I'm giving it. And then don't stop there. Like Clive and Mary had, have a dream. God, what's the greatest gift that I could ever give to you that if you ever put that amount of money in my hands, I would love to give it to your work. I would love to do it. I would dream to give this gift. Now, what I would tell you about the dream is just hold on to the dream. You don't need to tell anybody your dream. Just hold it. It's between you and God. When it comes to pass, you can celebrate it. So you're working the plan, writing the vision down, holding on to the dream. And I get challenged. People say, like, can we really like dream for big gifts? How come the world gets to dream? Talk to any pro athlete or like college athlete that's getting ready to sign the big contract. They go, it's always been my dream. The day I signed the big contract, I'm going to buy my mom and dad a house. I'm going to buy this car. I'm going to do. They got a dream list of all the things they want to do for themselves and their family. How come I can't have a dream list of what I want to do for God? So everyone in our church is like living this. They're just like, let's work the plan. Let's write the vision down and believe God for more. And then have a dream and hold on to that dream. Ephesians 3:20 talks about the dream, and it says this, that now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. What do we do after we ask or think? It's what we dream about, according to the power that works in us, to be the him be the glory. Like, God has the ability to do more than you can ask or think, and he's saying, would you dream with me? And he has unlimited resources. We're so contained by what we have here. Matter of fact, I'm concerned about this. America, we're actually being conditioned about what we have, what we have, what we have, what we have. And we need to live more by faith and trusting God. We really do. But let me share a couple stories from our church, because everybody's involved, from the teenagers to the business owners. Young guy in our church, Park, 14 years old, hears this a couple years ago. He says to his mom and dad, he said, I'm going to do this. He goes, I wrote it down. I'm believing God that he has $500 in his hands that I don't have, and I'm going to give $500 in the legacy offering. And his mom and dad walk out, they're like, he's got $50. Like God's going to give him $500. You know? That's what they said. Park prays all year. He's working, doing odd jobs, and praying, God, if you put it in my hands, I'll give it. He didn't give $500 at the end of the year. He gave $1,200. $1,200, yeah. For a 14-year-old kid, that's pretty impressive. And his mom and dad sent me a text, and they said, forgive our lack of faith. Our kid led the way in the family. And teenagers, come on, lead the way. Lead the way. Believe that there's more in God's hands, all right? Okay, who else? Another family, Matt and his wife. They're at our Egan campus. During COVID, he kept his job, and so they were getting the stimulus checks. They qualified for that. And they said, Lord, that's extra money. That was not in our hands. It was in your hands. And I said, well, technically it was in the government's hands, but yeah, it was all right. You know, yeah. And it came into your hands, all right. And they said, but it wasn't in our hands. It was in your hands. And they gave it. And every year, they just, 2 years, they gave the stimulus check. At the end of that, they felt like God said, all right, this year, I want you to stretch. You're going to go for $7,500. And he's like, how am I going to tell my wife? So he goes to his wife. He said, honey, I think we're supposed to believe there's more in God's hands. She goes, me too. He goes, what's your number? She goes, $7,500. He goes, mine too. So in church, they're praying. Okay, God, $7,500. It's not in our hands, but it's in yours. If you put it in ours, we're going to give it. On Friday of that week, she looked at their bank account. There's $7,500 from his boss. She's like, what in the world? She calls him. She goes, honey, go talk to your boss. There's $7,500 in there from your boss. And he goes into his boss. He goes, hey, there's an unexpected deposit in my bank account. And if it's a mistake, can I keep it? You know, because, I'm trying to figure out what happened there. And he goes, oh, you'll never believe it. He goes, I came in on Monday. I felt so guilty. He said, we've done so well during COVID. He said, I told our CFO, give everybody a bonus check by Friday. How many know you can pray on Sunday, your boss can feel guilty on Monday, and there can be a check on Friday? And you're like, not my boss. Prayer and fasting for your boss, all right? Seriously, stop limiting God. I was reading the other day in Exodus, the Bible says that God made the Egyptians favorably disposed to the Israelites. They threw money at them. Only God could. If you put that in a movie script, you wouldn't believe it. The God we serve created manna out of the ground to feed over 1 million people every day. The God we serve, when his disciples needed to pay their taxes, said, go fish, and the first fish you're going to catch is going to have a gold coin in his mouth, and you'll pay the taxes. Why do we limit God? Okay, in my own life, this is me. I always want to live the same journey I ask everyone in our church to live. So 8 years ago, we've been doing this since 2009. 8 years ago, I felt God say, I want you to go up by $10,000 this year. I was like, okay, that's not like my raises, but it's in your hands. I'm going to live this out. I trust you, God. We're going to give $10,000 more to the legacy this year than we did last year. Great. And up until that time, we'd always gone up like a couple thousand more, believing in his hands. That year was 10. So 2 weeks later, I get a phone call. My wife and I are praying, Lord, $10,000, it's in your hands, put it in ours. This guy says, hey, would you like to be a part of our board? And we're in Indiana. We're a nonprofit board, and we want to know if you want to serve on it. I was like, really, I don't. I'm too busy. I have it costs me too much money. Every board I'm on, they want me to give money to, and I don't have any more time. And he goes, well, that's too bad, because we don't need you to give money. We actually give money away. And every board member gets $10,000 for being on the board, and they get to give it to their favorite charity. And I said, well, does our legacy, like, does that, because that's my favorite charity. Like, you know, that's, we're doing it here with our church, and I love our church, and I love what we're doing. And he goes, oh, yeah, that would count. I said, when's the board meeting? Okay, I'm in. How many know there is a board in Indiana that I'd never met that heard there was a pastor in Minnesota that loved missions, and they asked me to be on the board, and God's like, will you trust me that there's $10,000 in my hands, and I'll bring it to you. It'll come from Indiana. And by the way, can I share this? 3 years ago, that board said, hey, the owners of this, like, that started this group, it was three business guys. They just said, we're going to start a company to give money to missions. Amazing. And they said, we have so much money, every board member now gets $25,000. And then this last one they went to, they said, we have so much money, every board member now gives $50,000. So I came back this summer for the first time ever with a check for $50,000 to our legacy, all from a prayer 8 years ago. God, is there more in your hands that I could believe you for? That's my story. And all these stories are, they're all in the book there. These are verified. Okay, last one. Because I don't know where everybody's at. We're all at different spots. Park is a teenager. I'm just trying to lead the way as a pastor. Matt and his wife, they're just a regular couple in church. There's a business owner and his wife in the church, and they heard this plan, vision, dream. That year they had joined our church, they had given $70,000 to our legacy giving. Like, it was incredible, but they hadn't heard plan, vision, dream yet. And all of a sudden they hear it, and they said, let's do this. And he leans over to his wife in church, and he said, honey, God has put so much in our hands already. He said, if we just did what we could, like with what he's already put in, we could give $250,000 every year to the legacy Kingdom Builders. We could do that. And I'm like, amazing. So they start there doing that. 18 months later, they have their vision. They've been writing it down. God, there's more in your hands. If you put it in ours, we'll give it. Their business explodes. It's going so well. They're now giving $500,000. 18 months after that, so 3 years later, he calls me up. He says, Pastor, I want to take you to dinner. My wife and I want to take you and your wife to dinner. We go to dinner, and he's crying, and she's crying. He said, we thought this would take 10, 15 years. We're here to do our dream goal. It was our dream to give $1 million above our tithe, and here we are, and here's a check for $1 million. And they're crying, and we're crying. I was like, and I really did do this. I go, what's your new dream? That's what I said. I said it to him. And he goes, I'm not supposed to tell you. I'm supposed to hold it. And I said, no, I will cheer you on. And he said, we would love to give $1 million a year above our tithe for the rest of our life. And then I said this to him, I pray you live to be 100. That's what I said. And at the time, he and his wife were 38 years old. And they've done it every year since. And now they're encouraging other people to live differently. Matter of fact, the tagline on the book is, giving meaning to your money. That's what he and his wife said. They said, you know what? You're giving meaning to our money. We live in this wonder of why did God bless us with so much? And they said, now we understand it's so that we can be generous on every occasion. God's kingdom can be built. His name gets glorified, and we do something for his glory. So wherever you're at, can I just share Wave Church? This is like a holy moment for some of you. You've never given before. First gift. First gift's gonna change your direction. I just felt it again, like the presence of God's so strong on our first gift. There's something about, I'm parting with this, and I want my treasure to go into something bigger than me for eternal value, and it starts you on this road of generosity. It's not about the amount, it's about the direction. And I pray that hundreds of you, for the first time, would do something. And then I pray for many others that you'll say, I've been given at a plan level. I'd love to go to the next level of vision. Some of you have been given at a vision level. You'd love to give a dream. I even believe there might be people here today that are like, I want to live at a dream level right now. God's given me that capacity. And I want to do a gift that was in my heart always, and I want to do it. So, Lord, I just pray right now for Wave Church as they get ready for the legacy offering. What a joy that we get to do this. We're alive at one of the most affluent times in human history. We live in a nation that allows us to make so much and be able to do so much good for your glory. Lord, could this church live differently for your glory and for your honor? As we live in the so that, may we be generous so that churches are built, wells are dug, kids are fed, school supplies are purchased, good is done all around the world for your glory and for your honor. Blessing on every first gift, blessing on everyone giving from plan, and blessing from every vision gift, and blessing on every dream gift that would come in today or in the future. We want to live differently because we've been blessed so much. Thank you for this now. In your name we pray. Amen.